Good morning. We'd like to welcome you to worship this morning at West Valley Presbyterian Church. We're so glad you're here. This morning we're here to worship God.
The scripture this morning is from Psalms 32, 1 through 5. What happiness for those whose guilt has been forgiven. What joys when sins are covered over. What relief for those who have confessed their sins and God has cleared their record. There was a time when I wouldn't admit what a sinner I was, but my dishonesty made me miserable and filled my days with frustration. All day and all night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water on a sunny day until I finally admitted all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. I said to myself, I will confess them to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. May God bless the reading of this scripture.
Thank you, Marva. Well, as I said, we're now in a series on forgiveness, which connects with the Holy Spirit, because we can't forgive unless the Holy Spirit helps us. We had a lot in the service this morning, so I'm going to just try to get through this as quickly as I possibly can for you today. We may go a few minutes over. The first thing I want you to know about forgiveness, I'm going to go right to the bullet points there. Is the hard thing about forgiveness, and the reason we need the Holy Spirit to help us, is that forgiveness goes against our grain. It isn't our knee-jerk reaction as human beings to forgive one another. And that situation that humans find themselves in today was the same as in Jesus' day. Archaeologists have discovered in Roman ruins, written a couple thousand years ago, ancient prayers that people would actually pay to have written down and then stored. They are called now cursed tablets. They looked like that because the most common type of prayer that was written on these cursed tablets were curses against people. And they would pray to the gods for vengeance. And that's what we have. So I'm going to read one of these prayer curses to you. This is actually found in Rome, and these prayer curses all over the Mediterranean world. This is somebody's prayer to one of the gods. I invoke you, holy angels and holy names, tie up, block, strike, overthrow, harm, destroy, kill, and shatter Eucherius, the charioteer, and all of his horses tomorrow in the arena of Rome. Let the starting gates not open properly. Let him not compete quickly. Let him not pass. Let him not make the turn properly. Let him not receive the honors. Let him not squeeze over and overpower. Let him not come from behind and pass, but instead let him collapse. Let him be bound. Let him be broken up. And let him drag behind, both in the early races and in the later ones. You know, just in case the gods got confused and let him win the earlier ones and not the later ones. All right. And, you know, this is our human way. How many bless my enemy tablets do you think they found in Roman ruins? A prayer that says, Eucherius hurt me badly, so would you forgive his sin and mine? Would you heal our relationship? How many bless my enemy tablets do you think they found in Roman ruins? Zero, none, all right? So forgiveness goes against our grain as human beings now, just as it did back then. And yet, for the Christian, forgiveness is a requirement. It is a command to us in Scripture that we forgive. Into that context where cursed tablets were rampant, and into our context in Silicon Valley 2012, where fierce competition and the drive for success makes us slaves to revenge, backbiting, bitterness, and resentments, Jesus' words are these. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. They had all heard about that. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons or children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And again, Jesus says, if you love only those who love you, what reward will you get? You know, are not even the tax collectors or the sinners doing that? And if you greet only your brothers or sisters, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? And there's countless more scriptures in the Old and New Testament saying that we must forgive. It is in the Lord's Prayer that you said today, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgiveness is not an option. We can't quibble about that. There's a lot of things we can quibble about in our theologies and our different perspectives on things, but we can't quibble about forgiveness. It is a requirement of the gospel. You know, sometimes when you're signing up for something, you have to put your information into the computer, right? And you put your address. And there's certain places that say this information is required, right? And if you try to push the button that says continue, it will go back and you'll get something that looks something like that, right? You must fill in required fields. You have to forgive. It's a command. It's a required field. Why is it a required field? Why is forgiveness so essential to the gospel? Why does Jesus make such a big deal about this? It's kind of a bummer in some situations, you know? It is because the nature of God in Jesus Christ is one of extravagant love and unlimited forgiveness. The cross, a symbol of forgiveness, is at the center of our faith. And the only reason we're all sitting here today in fellowship with God is because we've been forgiven by God first. We've been forgiven more than we know we've been forgiven. And we're not allowed to hold back on others. And second, if we claim to be God's children, if we are calling ourselves Christians or little Christs, which the word Christian means, we need to look like the one we say we belong to. Okay? We need to look like the one we follow, a God of extravagant love and ongoing eternal forgiveness. So, number three on forgiveness, choosing forgiveness means choosing the way of love over hate. I want to be really clear that forgive does not mean to forget, condone, excuse, tolerate, or overlook. It means to choose the way of love over the way of hate. And the way of love may be painful as much as the cross was painful for Jesus. It might not always be doing what the other person wants me to do, but there will always be a way that I can choose that is a way of love. And what you do when you choose the way of love over hate will look different in different situations. Please hear me. Forgiveness does not mean that you stay in an abusive relationship. It does not mean that you become a doormat or stay a victim to destructive circumstances. And nowhere does Jesus indicate that forgiveness happens overnight, all right? Forgiveness for those who have hurt us is more often than not a process that we have to work on. And sometimes it's a very long process. So let's go to the quotes. My favorite quote, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Catherine Ponder says, when you hold resentment toward another, you are bound to that person or conditioned by an emotional link that is stronger than steel. Forgiveness is the only way to dissolve that link and get free. So choosing the way of love over the way of hate is all about our freedom. When we forgive others, we ourselves are healed and liberated. Number four is forgiveness is not for cowards. There is nothing weak about forgiveness. If you practice forgiveness, you have got to have courage and stamina and faith that God will bring about ultimate justice, not you. You have to be strong in your prayer life. And all of this takes courage. And these quotes that I put up on the screen, you know, they're very inspirational what Jesus says and what people say about forgiveness. And we go, yeah, you know, that's right. But in real life, this stuff is hard and we have to work at it. We're talking about times when we're cheated, let down, betrayed, lied to, condemned unjustly. We're talking about forgiving even people who go to church. Imagine that, you know. It's the person sitting in front of you, maybe, who said that comment to you in the committee meeting that just didn't seem right, okay? It's the person in business who cheated you and looked you right in the eye while they were doing it. It's a spouse who betrayed you, and that's a big one, and it goes right to the core. A friend who doesn't keep your confidence and damages you by gossip goes right in there. A teacher who demeans you in front of the class. This is heavy. And never seems to give you that good grade that you deserve. Maybe it's a parent, and maybe it's a parent from long ago who inflicted harm or ignored you, wasn't there for you. That's a tough one. Maybe it's a boss who fired you, demoted you, and you didn't deserve it. He didn't give you that promotion. What about a relative who doesn't speak to you? Even a cashier. What about that who's rude to you and, you know, doesn't give you the time of day? That's a kind of a light one, but it kind of just sticks in there, you know? Let's see, one more. What about a guest who's staying at your house and they're just so annoying, all right? And you wish they'd leave and they won't leave. This is pretty heavy. I mean, those were real rocks, by the way. They're not fake ones or anything. So this is pretty. So I'm going to put this on my back, right? That's really heavy, right? And you're thinking, forgive these people? No way, not him, not her. Get me that cursed prayer tablet. I'm ready to serve the ancient Roman gods. Bring them on. Sometimes, and what I didn't mention, which I should have when I put these rocks in here, we need to forgive ourselves too, you know. I saw a man who'd come to church a while back, and he said, you know, I really messed up last week, and I just don't feel like I should be here. And I said, this is exactly the place you should be. This is the place where we all come because we're all sinners. This is a hospital for sinners, and God is our great forgiver. So that's another rock that goes back here. But we hold on to this stuff because, and I don't understand the human logic, but I do it too. We hold on to this stuff because we think somehow it will balance the injustice of these things. We carry these injuries and insults around like, I might carry this backpack. Every time somebody does something to me that I don't like, that seems unjust, that hurts, you know, I carry it. I carry my unforgiveness against myself. And it's normal to carry this for a while because we're human and we get hurt. But at some point, if I carry this forever, it's going to knock me out, wear me down, zap the strength out of me, and make me hunched over, grumpy, and give me back pain. I'm going to be less than who I was created to be. I'm going to be bound and burdened by things I don't have to carry. Because all of this belongs over here. Was real rocks at the cross, right? And we're going to be talking this series about how we let that go. How do we put that there? Okay. But for right now, know these three things. Willing to do God's will, wanting to forgive, even if we can't in the present, is the first step toward letting that go. Praying regularly for the ability to forgive, second thing. And doing whatever God leads us to do as we work on the lifelong task of forgiving others and ourselves, in Jesus' name. Finally, forgiveness is the greatest power in the world. And I'm going to close with a story for you. It's the most powerful story of forgiveness I've ever heard. It takes 3 minutes, all right? Powerful story of forgiveness. And then we're going to close in prayer. This segment that I'm showing you does not cover the whole story. The woman who forgave her son's killer. And she says, if it hadn't been for God, if it hadn't been for the Holy Spirit, this never would have happened. Please know, it took her 12 years before she could even look at her son's killer's face. But watch what happened.